KPDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Federal funding for key programs, grants, and foreign aid paused temporarily after President Trump's executive order. It calls for the Office of Management and Budget to review how the federal funds are spent. The White House press secretary could not offer clarity on whether programs like Medicaid could be impacted. Here's ABC's Mary Alice Parks.
She said she'd have to get back to folks, give them information, get lists of federal programs. So I think that was a huge headline that actually will have a real impact, an immediate impact, potentially for millions of Americans dealing with their health insurance, with their housing assistance, with disaster aid, and so on.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem sworn in over the weekend addressed staffers today in her first briefing earlier. Today, Noem took part in federal raids in New York City targeting undocumented migrants. Tech stocks trying to recover some of the steep losses yesterday after the launch of Chinese-owned AI chatbot DeepSeek that offers cheaper AI models compared to U.S. models. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Governor Tony Evers is lowering the threshold for lead poisoning. He approved a new emergency rule from the Department of Health Services that drops the threshold from 5 micrograms per deciliter to 3.5 micrograms per deciliter. That brings the standards in Wisconsin closer to recommendations from the CDC. It means more children exposed to lead will be eligible for services. Just last week, a Milwaukee student tested positive for lead poisoning, and health officials believe they were exposed at school. No level of lead is considered safe for kids. Today, Evers also allocated $5 million in federal funding toward lead and PFAS abatement efforts in well water. Since 2022, 684 wells have been decontaminated, rebuilt, or closed under that program. His next budget also includes $6.2 million to go toward lead and PFAS removal efforts. And the former chancellor of UW-La Crosse is once again fighting to be reinstated after producing and starring in pornography. When the material surfaced online, Joe Gao stepped down from his position as chancellor. He was expecting to go back to being a tenured professor in the communications department. But there was a lengthy university process, and the Board of Regents dismissed him as a professor. Gao claims his firing violated his constitutional right to free speech. Now he's suing the UW system in federal court, making that same argument. Both the faculty committee and a Board of Regents review found Gao engaged in unethical conduct. And Madison police are encouraging people to meet in public if they're buying secondhand items online. Over the weekend, a man was at a meetup to buy something off Facebook Marketplace on the west side of Madison, and the person he was meeting pointed a gun at him. He was able to drive off and report it. Police recommend meeting in a public place if you're buying something from someone online. You can even meet at your local police station. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
The Bucks defeat the Jazz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Another win for Milwaukee, 125-110 over the Utah Jazz. Head coach Doc Rivers asked why would the refs call a flagrant two foul on the Bucks' Andre Jackson with less than a minute left to play.
Late in the game, my opinion, the refs were probably trying to keep the game clean. I think Sexton and they were getting into it, and honestly, I think they believe get one of them off the floor, so nothing happened. So I get it. I didn't think it was a flagrant two, but it, you know, I think that's the reason.
The Bucks are in Portland tonight against the Trail Blazers. College basketball: the Badgers travel to Maryland to play the Terrapins tomorrow night. Wisconsin now ranked 17th in the nation. NFL: the Green Bay Packers have signed Rich Bisaccia to a contract extension, adding on an additional 2 years. Bisaccia is assistant head coach and special teams coordinator, and Luke Getsy has returned to the coaching staff as an offensive assistant. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and breezy tonight, a low in the upper 20s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, high mid-30s. Then to the upper 40s with sunshine Thursday. Temps stay above average but cool into the 30s for the rest of the week with snow chances into this weekend. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us. Robert Kennedy Jr.'s confirmation hearing's going to be underway. What will his appointment mean for our health? We'll break it down. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 11.
A new choice. Madison's real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the second hour of today's Maggie Dawn Show. This one's special in a challenging way for me, everybody. And I'm going to talk a bit about it today. If you've been listening to me for a while, you know that despite my gruff and strong exterior, I am a big mushball at heart. And some of the things that have happened over the last, 36 hours have got me reeling, very scared, very upset. But don't worry. Before the end of the show today, I'm going to give us all some homework, some things to do so that we don't feel overwhelmed in these moments. And in this next hour, I'm going to list out, it's impossible to list out all of the things that Donald Trump has done in the last week and 2 days that are illegal. I don't think I could get through all of them. And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans. It is harmful to government accountability. We all say, no matter what our party is, that we want greater efficiency, greater effectiveness. We want the middle class to do better, for our government to serve the vast majority of Americans better. We listen to politician after politician after politician promise to do just that. And yet, here we are. And so the question to be asked of all of us, if these are the things that we say we want in overwhelming numbers, is fascism the way to get those things? Because this is what we've got now. So let's get into it. I want to start with the memorandum issued yesterday by the Office of Management and Budget, who's being run by a guy named Russell Vaught, who is one of the primary architects of Project 2025, who I will spend time discussing at greater length later this week. But in this memo that went to basically all federal agencies, it says this: to the extent permissible under applicable law, federal agencies must temporarily pause all activities related to the obligation of or disbursement of all federal financial assistance and other relevant agencies' activities. So let's just start there. To the extent permissible under applicable law is the lazy person's way of saying, I have no idea what I'm talking about, no idea what the law says, no idea what may be legal or legal, constitutional or unconstitutional, but I'm going to tell you to do this thing anyways, and then leave it up to you and people that might need to sue us to sort all of that out. In other words, it's a complete abrogation of responsibility by a federal employee. I would never in a million freaking years have ever written an opinion when I was the chief legal officer for Milwaukee County that said, here's what my opinion is, except if applicable law says otherwise. Because you know what? That was my stinking job. So that's garbage. Must temporarily pause all activities related to the expenditure of federal monies. What? So we're stopping spending federal monies. Okay. And, quote, other agency activities. What is that? All it, so we're not spending money and federal agencies have to stop doing activities. About what, you may ask? Well, that may be, maybe they might be. Who decides? Might be a court, a lawsuit, whomever's running the department, a frontline employee, I don't know, that may be related to foreign aid. Full stop. So, okay, foreign aid and other relevant activities must stop. Foreign aid. So, Israel, Gaza, Ukraine, Sudan, all of Central and South America, Africa, the Far East, Hong Kong, Taiwan. Shall I continue? Don't even get me into the grammar rabbit hole about where the commas are placed in this thing. I'll just leave it with you. I am a grammarian, and it's garbage. They don't even know how to use commas, whoever wrote this. And by the way, more on that in a second. Foreign aid, stop. Non-governmental organizations, stop. So like Doctors Without Borders? Amnesty International? Oh, by the way, USAID was one of them. USAID, which is a federal executive branch agency, basically everybody's on leave. Like USAID has stopped. One of the things that USAID helps is to set up local governmental best practice functions in former Soviet Union republics. Just saying. This is like one of, forget democracy. Okay. So, you know, no foreign aid, no non-governmental organizations, comma, now separately listed, DEI. Here is my thing on DEI. No one in the Trump orbit knows what this means. I mentioned in the first hour, the Air Force stopped including in a training video mention of the Tuskegee Airmen because, you know, they were black. So is that DEI? Like, is anything that mentions female or that like a woman did this and it was important that she did this or a black person or a Latino person or an Asian person? Can we talk about the internment of Japanese Americans? Or, since Donald Trump is invoking the Alien Enemies Act, is that also, you know, can't do that? Comma, woke gender ideology. So do we just not talk about gender? Like, there are no gender? I'm confused. Sounds like they are, too. Do they just use the word woke? Anyone be like, oh, if it's woke. Well, what does woke mean? Does woke mean I just don't like President Trump? That's now woke? And the Green New Deal. Can we say the words climate change anywhere in the federal government? Or would that be prohibited other activities? Wait a minute. When does the First Amendment come into play? Because they love the... Is there cancel culture? Can we cancel woke gender ideology? Is that another activity? This is so stupid, it defies explanation. Oh, and by the way, this ban goes into effect today at 5 p.m. Eastern, which is in 46 minutes from now. TikTok, TikTok. This from Senator Ron Wyden. My staff has confirmed reports that Medicaid portals are shut down in all 50 states following last night's federal funding freeze. This is a blatant attempt to rip away health care from millions of Americans overnight and will get people killed. What? Well, that would sure sound like, let's see here, let's refer back to this insightful, well-researched, well-cited legal document. Oh, yes. Stop, temporarily pause all federal financial assistance. Mm-hmm. Okay. Garbage. This is garbage. Now, likely violates the Impoundment Act because Congress has the power of the purse. Let me break that down and not use the word impoundment because I mean, what's that? It violates the separation of freaking powers. The Federalist Society? No. The Federalist Society needs a new name, don't you think? The American Kings Club. That's what I'm going to call it. That's the OMB memo. And it is stopping the provision of key services that you and people you love in this state, in Wisconsin, in Illinois, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, in New Mexico, and in Arizona, and in Florida, Massachusetts, Vermont, California, Washington State. It is stopping the provision of services at the state and local level that will, and I promise you this, will get people killed. Donald Trump, he ain't even trying to help the middle class, won't agree to tax billionaires more. In fact, his confirmee to become Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent, has said we need more billionaire tax cuts. But it is beyond that, folks. He not only doesn't care about your pocketbook, he doesn't care if you die. I don't know how else to break it down. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you have been waiting for one of those days where I light my hair on fire, it is one of them. And I'm not going to do this every day, because if I did, I'd have a heart attack and I wouldn't make it through 4 years of the Trump administration. But when it is necessary, I will do so. You can count on me every day to tell you whether I think it's one of those hair on fire kind of days, and today is one of them. Now, when we come back, because we got to take care of a little business here shortly, I am going to talk about the firing of long-serving, frontline, career law enforcement prosecutors and what that means. And then I'm going to put together this ridiculous garbage memo from the Office of Management and Budget, signed by and authored by Russell Vogt. Oh, wait, I forgot this about the OMB. This OMB memo, if you had any doubt who actually wrote it, you can tell by the data that was embedded in the document that it was written by the authors of Project 2025 from the Heritage Foundation. It's called metadata. They forgot to scrub it. Now, not only is the document dumb without citation or legal foundation, likely illegal, violating the separation of powers and the Impoundment Act, it's also dumb because they don't even know how to turn a Word document into a PDF and scrub the gosh darn metadata. We have fools in federal government, and it's only going to get worse. I tell you what it means to you when we come back after these brief messages right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us for a great conversation. 855-75.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Dana Road, plus IgniteGlassAndGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
Hey, it's family time at Chula Vista with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, a rejuvenating spa visit, relaxing at outdoor fire pits, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and outdoors with cross-country skiing, sledding, and snowshoeing. Dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here, on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Discover Chula's Winter Wonderland. Miles of freshly groomed trails, skiing, sledding, snowshoeing. Check out bonus gift cards at ChulaVistaResort.com.
This is Chad Spate. Are you thinking about improving your home? At Chad's Design Build, we're proud to offer remodeling done well with love. And our commitments to you and your home convey that love and spell our name. The Chad's experience is structured to provide excellent communication, honesty, accuracy, detailed proposals, and satisfied customers. We're also committed to making your home comfortable, healthy, attractive, durable, and sustainable. If you want a quality remodel and a quality remodeling experience, go to ChadsDesignBuild.com to learn more.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can a mighty, mighty good man stand up? I've heard from two of them today. Former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn joined me in the first hour, and then my colleague Dan Schaefer for my news segment that you're going to find every Tuesday at 2:30 called The State Slate with Dan Schaefer. We're now into the second hour, and it's been a rough 36-ish hours for me. If you're new to the show, new to the Maggie Dawn Show, new to me, welcome. I appreciate you listening or tuning in on YouTube at Civic Media's YouTube channel or at Maggie Dawn Show on Insta X and the Book of Faces. I served for over 7 years as Milwaukee County's chief legal officer. Coming out of law school, I served as a clerk to Judge Michael Caney of the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. Judge Caney was a two-time Reagan appointee, first to the federal trial court and then to the federal appeals court. So I have served in government. I have both of my family members. My mom was a nurse. She worked in the VA in California for many years. My dad is a long-serving public servant. Service is in our blood. And it was my life's greatest honor to serve the people of Milwaukee County. And before that, I was an assistant city attorney for the city of Milwaukee. It was honor of my life to do that work. And it's now a deep, humbling privilege to talk with each and every one of you. I say all of this as prequel because what Donald Trump did yesterday is an abomination. Much of what he's done is an abomination, including the OMB directive that's basically like, oh, cool, we'll just stop all federal assistance for stuff, which I talked about last segment. And the firing of the inspectors general, also illegal, was an abomination. But what happened last night and what is coming in terms of the Department of Justice and the FBI, of course, Dollar Dollar Bill Cash Patel's confirmation hearings coming up on Thursday. I'll cover it Thursday. What is going on right now in the FBI and the DOJ is so alarming. Donald Trump yesterday fired reportedly somewhere in the ballpark of 12 or more career prosecutors from the Department of Justice because they worked on either of the Trump criminal prosecutions. This was a letter from an acting attorney general, apparently emailed to these individuals, and it said this, quote, the proper functioning of government critically depends on the trust superior officials place in their subordinates. Given your significant role in prosecuting the president, I do not believe that the leadership of the Department of Justice can trust you to assist in implementing the president's agenda faithfully. Here's what I'm going to tell you about government lawyers. They're not the lawyer of the president. Their client is not Donald Trump. Their job function isn't to serve a president's agenda, and it never should be. You can make an argument maybe that White House counsel's office is perhaps to do that, but I can make an argument that even there it's not. But setting that aside, Department of Justice lawyers, that is not their freaking job. My job when I was the chief legal officer for Milwaukee County wasn't to serve the county executive's agenda, which, by the way, made him really angry at me at certain points in time. My job wasn't to do the bidding of various county elected officials, though many of them that got really mad at me when I wouldn't do that. I experienced this firsthand. My job as Milwaukee County's chief legal officer was to serve the people and the entity, the people of and the entity that is Milwaukee County. And I took an oath to do that. The acting AG that sent this memo should lose his job because he doesn't know what his job is. It's not to serve the president's agenda. No, sir. Oh, by the way, this, like the OMB memo, is a very dense legal document filled with copious citations and an excellent deep analysis of the law. No, it's not. No, it's not. Here's the legal basis for that assertion. Quote, pursuant to Article 2 of the Constitution and the laws of the United States, your employment with the Department of Justice is hereby terminated. Article 2 does not give the president the power to override existing federal statutes that provide job protections to civil servants. He can fire at will appointees, but not inspectors general without notice to Congress in a 30-day waiting period and good cause. Doesn't apply to frontline prosecutors are civil servants that do not serve at the pleasure of the president. Otherwise, you'd see them in Senate confirmation hearings. Here's what else. That was just the tip of the iceberg yesterday. Okay? Because this interim or acting U.S. attorney also announced an internal investigation into the 250-plus January 6th cases that the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. investigated and prosecuted. That is a freaking witch hunt. Prosecutors who, when presented with facts and information by law enforcement officers, whether state, local, or federal, investigate and then charge crimes that are authorized by a grand jury indictment and present them before a court of law with federal rules of evidence where the defendants are entitled to counsel that are presided over by an Article III lifetime appointed judge, some of whom were Trump appointed judges, are not to be investigated by the Department of Justice for doing their jobs. What that is the threat of criminal prosecution being brought down on the heads of frontline prosecutors. Not only may you lose your job, we are now going to start coming after you criminally. I'm going to tell you what all this means, put it in the bigger context, what it might mean for you and yours right here in the state of Wisconsin. Keep it locked. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Cheese is not only a great topping for nearly any food, here in Wisconsin, it is a very fruitful industry. And that is why it is picked to host some of the biggest cheese competitions in the world. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe. And Kirsten Strohmanger, the director of competitions for the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association, is here to give a brief history of the United States Championship Cheese Contest.
Sure. So our U.S. Championship Cheese Contest, we've held it biennially since 1981, and this is the 22nd biennial edition of this event. The Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association, we host this, and we've hosted contests since late 1800s, actually. And, you know, the premise is to elevate the cheesemakers for this contest, elevate them in the United States, and also give them an evaluation from dairy experts.
Strohmanger wants to remind everyone that this year's event takes place from March 4th through the 6th in Green Bay. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe. And we'll take a look at the closing markets right after this. Join the Midwest Farm Report team along with Wisconsin soybean and corn growers at the 2025 Corn Soy Expo on February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Learn from industry experts on disease updates, cover crops, DOT standards, weather patterns, and more. Comedian Greg Warren will bring humor to the closing of the event. Connect with fellow farmers and share ideas among the breakout session. And don't miss the popular beer and bowl session. For more information or to make plans to attend, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
Come on along. We're headed to the Canadian Rockies. I'm Pam Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th. We'll begin at Calgary's Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Off to Vancouver for award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery. Then we ferry to Vancouver Island to visit a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword PAM to get a brochure or watch a travel show.
Welcome back. Now let's take a look at the closing markets. It is a tale of two stories today as grain prices are seeing losses, with cash corn down 4.5 at 482. And new crop corn down 2.75 at 458.25. March soybeans are down 10.75 at 10.45, where November soybeans are down 5.5 at 10.43.25. March wheat is down 8.5 at 535.5, and July wheat is also down 8.5 at 561.5. Class 3 milk contracts are looking better though, as February contracts are up 63 cents at 1993 hundredweight, and March contracts are up 59 cents at 1961 hundredweight. Barrels of cheese finished the day up too at 184. And 40-pound blocks are up 3.75 at 187. Butter closed down today with no change, sitting at 253. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and breezy tonight, a low in the upper 20s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, high mid-30s. Then to the upper 40s with sunshine Thursday. Temps stay above average but cool into the 30s for the rest of the week with snow chances into this weekend. It's 46 right now.
I came home early and found my husband swiping left. It's true. He was looking for something new. So I just decided to confront him.
I'm looking at movetomadison.com.
Well, at least you're keeping it local.
It's the Aaron Weber Group. You said you wanted a home. They can get us the best place with updated market reports and instant property value quotes, virtual or in-person meetings. Happy Valentine's Day.
The Aaron Weber Group, powered by Compass. Movetomadison.com. Swipe and find your true love home today.
Looking to turn your valuables into cash this Valentine's Day? Gordy's Midwest Fine Jewelry and Coins is here for you since 1985. Look for the big green awning on the corner of 4701 Monona Drive. Gordy buys your coins, gold, silver, watches, stamps, silver dollars, and paper currency. They buy, sell, trade, and repair, offering top dollar and paying cash for gold. Stop by today and experience the difference. Gordy's Midwest Fine Jewelry and Coins. Call 608-221-4242.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Entertainment reporter Chris Foran. Then I'm joined by Wisconsin native and Brooklyn-based stand-up comedian Olivia Witt. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
What about your friends?
You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Maggie Dawn. On January 27th, 1838, a 28-year-old Abraham Lincoln rose before the Young Men's Lyceum in Springfield, Illinois, to make a speech that he called The Perpetuation of Our Political Institutions. If destruction be our lot, he said, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide. He was concerned about lawlessness in the country as men began to ignore the rule of law and act on their passions, imposing their will, their preferences on neighbors through violence. He pointed to two events which had just happened then. The lynching of a free black man, Francis McIntosh, in St. Louis, Missouri, and the murder of a white abolitionist editor, Elijah P. Lovejoy, by a pro-slavery mob in Alton, Illinois. But the problem of lawlessness, he said, wasn't limited to those individual instances. A public practice of ignoring the law had eventually broken down all guardrails. While the lawbreakers went unpunished and became convinced that they were entitled to act without constraint, without any fear of punishment, quote, having ever regarded government as their deadliest bane, Lincoln said, they made a jubilee of the suspension of its operations and pray for nothing so much as its total annihilation. As the patriots of 76 did to support the Declaration of Independence, so too the support of the Constitution and laws. Let every American pledge his life, his property, his sacred honor. Let reverence for the laws become the political religion of the nation. And let the old and the young, the rich and the poor, the grave and the gay, of all sexes and tongues and colors and conditions, sacrifice unceasingly upon its altars. And Lincoln warned that the very success of the American Republic threatened its continuation. Quote, men of ambition and talents could no longer make their name by building the nation, since that glory had already been won. Their ambition could not be served by simply preserving what those before them had created. So they sought to seek distinction through the nation's destruction. For such a man, Lincoln said, quote, distinction will be his paramount object. And although he would as willingly, perhaps more so, acquire it by doing good as harm, yet that opportunity being passed, and nothing left to be done in the way of building up, he would set boldly to the task of pulling down. And with no dangerous foreign power to turn people's passions against, people would turn from the project of establishing and maintaining civil and religious liberty and would instead, Lincoln predicted, turn against each other. He reminded his audience then that the torch of American democracy had been passed to them, that the founders had used their passions to create a system of laws, but that the time for passion had passed, lest it tear the nation apart. He asked the next generation to support democracy through sober reason. And he called for Americans to exercise, quote, general intelligence, sound morality, and in particular, a reverence for the Constitution and laws. Upon these, let the proud fabric of freedom rest as the rock of its basis. And as truly as has been said of the only greater institution, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This became known as the Lyceum Address, and it is one of the earliest speeches that Lincoln gave that has been preserved. And it really established his political career. That fundamental message that the law has to prevail over individual passions and political preferences speaks exactly to the moment that we find ourselves in today. With credit to Heather Cox Richardson, a historian that I've had on the show a number of times, that was her work pulling that together, as well as, of course, Lincoln's own words. Former U.S. Attorney Barbara McQuaid had this to say about Donald Trump's firing of career federal prosecutors who dared to try to hold the most powerful man in this country accountable for his actions, including the actions that he took after he left the Oval Office when he stole our nation's secrets. Here's what Barbara McQuaid said of Donald Trump's firing of these career prosecutors last night. Prosecutors did nothing wrong in bringing obstruction cases just because the Supreme Court subsequently interpreted the Constitution to prohibit that, despite no such limitation in the Constitution's text. By assigning supervisors to conduct an internal investigation, which has just been announced last night, they're going to actually conduct a witch hunt. Donald Trump creates an impression of misconduct by these prosecutors. Trump and his allies often complain about witch hunts. This is what a witch hunt really looks like. That from Barbara McQuaid. Here is what I fear. That now we will have to call this a witch hunt. Now we will have to talk about political prosecutions, because I am making the prediction here right now. It is 3:42 p.m. Central Time on January 28th. There will be career prosecutors in the Department of Justice who will end up facing criminal charges because they did their jobs. You think Christopher Wray was an abomination? His case was dismissed. Here we go again. My fear is that we have to call it a witch hunt, that political prosecutions are going to happen. And now the MAGAverse will simply say, see, we were right. But the doctrine of false equivalencies is the fancy word for BS. False equivalency is BS. We watched January 6th with our own eyes. We've heard from officers like Harry Dunn and Danny Hodges, who I've had on my show and did again today. People committed crimes. Jack Smith's report concluded that he would have convicted Donald Trump of crimes had the Supreme Court not waved its magic wand and declared presidents kings. So I want to step back. Here's what we got going on. The National Science Foundation has shut down hundreds of meetings to disperse federal grants. The National Institutes of Health are shutting down research projects, stopped hiring. They have stopped communicating with the public. USAID has put basically everybody on leave. The State Department, God knows, is that shut down? There are hiring freezes across the federal government. Job offers have been rescinded. Loyalty pledges in the form of explain your MAGA awakening now appear on federal job applications. The inspector generals, the independent watchdogs of federal agencies have been fired. The Office of Management and Budget just, you know, stopped all federal spending, I guess. And now frontline federal prosecutors are being threatened with criminal prosecution. They are being fired for doing their jobs. And don't forget me talking about local law enforcement and Donald Trump's threat to criminally prosecute local law enforcement officers if they do not participate in the violation of people's Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment rights in violation of the 10th Amendment principle of federalism. And Kash Patel, with his enemies list, is about to become the FBI director, the director of the world's largest law enforcement organization. Security details have been pulled from those with whom Donald Trump disagrees, putting their lives in danger. Dr. Fauci, Bill Barr, John Bolton, the list goes on. And Donald Trump just greenlit roving lynch mobs, because as long as it's in Donald Trump's interest, you will be pardoned. When they came for the socialist, I didn't speak because I wasn't a socialist. When they came for the unionist, I didn't speak either because I wasn't a unionist. When they came for the Jews, I remained silent because I wasn't a Jew. And then they came for me. When are they coming for you? This isn't how government works. This isn't how democracies work. And those should be principles and values that transcend any political system of beliefs, whether government should be smaller or bigger, whether we deride the choice of pronouns, whether we believe we've done enough to achieve equality in this nation or not. This is fascism. And he promised it and he delivered it. And Project 2025 and the Heritage Foundation and the Billionaire Boys Club authored it, and he's just signing the orders. You deserve better. If you voted for Donald Trump, you deserve better. And if you stayed home, shame on you, but you deserve better. And if you voted for Kamala Harris, you deserve better. We all deserve better than this. This is lawlessness. This is favor trading. This is corruption. And let me tell you, it shouldn't be the case that to serve our country, you have to have the fortitude of Abraham Lincoln or the bank account to defend yourself from a federal investigation. That shouldn't be the litmus test for government service, because what we will do is empty all levels of government from every person who in good faith, without fear or favor, wishes to serve. We will set every level of government back decades by the level of incompetence and self-interest and transactionalism that we're seeing on display, and it is only day 7. Now, I've made a promise to myself and each and every one of you that I will never leave a show without a ray of hope, without a thing to do to make it better. And today is no exception. So while I am heartbroken, having received probably upwards of 50 texts from people across all levels of government, from friends working as lawyers in federal government, afraid for themselves and their families and their livelihood and the future. Yeah, I'm afraid. You may be afraid too. You may be just ticked off. I'm that too. But now is the moment that we stand up. I'm going to give you some hope and an assignment when we come back. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Equal Protection Clause, embedded in the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment, is now being used to dismantle the 1965 Voting Rights Act, opening the door to even more voter suppression. Why is its history important? The 14th Amendment passed in 1868 and granted citizenship to formerly enslaved African Americans. The Equal Protection Clause reads, "No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws." Scholars agree that it was intended to stop states from discriminating against Black Americans. Yet, as the National Constitution Center points out, it was also used to justify the U.S. Supreme Court's Plessy v. Ferguson, allowing discriminatory, separate but equal schools, transportation, and accommodations in 1896. Another interpretation overturned that decision in Brown v. Board of Education in 1954. In 2023, it was used to eliminate race-based affirmative action for college admissions. U.S. Supreme Court conservatives, notably Justices Alito and Thomas, argue any consideration of race is a violation of the Equal Protection Clause. How might their interpretation impact voting rights? More on that in our next report.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Never give up that fight for which you know to be true and right. That is your solemn duty, obligation, and privilege as an American. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't worry, I don't light my hair on fire every day. But today, it needed to get lit, y'all. For the last hour, I've been talking about the culmination of a whole array of actions Donald Trump has taken. It is lawlessness. And I've stitched it together, but I have made a promise to myself and to each and every one of you that I'm never going to leave a show without giving you something to do to make it better, to never, ever give up. And this stuff's bad. I mean, it's real bad. I barely slept last night. Many of my friends barely slept last night. But I'm going to give us a list of things to do together this week and in these coming weeks and in these coming years. And the first one is to take care of yourself. Being on this show with all of you is like therapy for me. What's your outlet? Maybe it's calling in. Maybe it's texting Bill from Green Bay, Carrie from Tulsa, Tom from Jackson, Mark from Prairie du Sac. I appreciate each and every one of you. Cam, of course, from Appleton, Steve in Milwaukee, Mary from Mount Horeb. Sorry, I haven't been able to get to your text today, but I wanted to get this all out there for you all. So take care of yourself. Take a break when you need it. I'm going to have a good meal and hopefully go to bed early tonight because I'm pooped. The second thing is see if you can get a couple people you know that aren't registered to vote and convince them to check in on this next Wisconsin Supreme Court election, April 1st of this year, just over 60 days from now. April 1st, I think I said it was the 25th. It's April 1st of this year. Now, here's the hard part. Got two easy things. Take care of yourself. Get a couple people registered to vote. Convince them to check in on this next Supreme Court election. Here's the hard part. Sometime this next couple of weeks, I want you to sit down and talk with someone that you very much disagree with about something that you very much feel passionately about. And before you have that conversation, I want you to go online and I want you to read about their perspective, the perspective that you disagree with. I want you to go research it. And I want you to open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. And I want you to try to have a conversation about that thing. And challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Because I'm going to tell you, there is a solution for what is going on. And yes, I do think courts will stand up and most judges will stand up and do the right thing. But that's a small measure of solace because the impacts are going to be immediate and those court cases take forever. But there is a solution. And that is, on a micro level, to enact laws that insulate the Department of Justice and the FBI from political control and power. There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We can start demanding a democracy where the laws that get enacted and the referendums on our ballots actually reflect the things that we think are most important. So go have the tough conversations. Because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations. I'm still not my best at them from time to time, but I keep trying. Heck, if you've been listening to this show, I sometimes try to have them on this show when I hear from my good conservative friends. And I always try to treat people with respect because I truly believe that the vast majority of us know BS when we hear it. We know that what's happening now isn't good for us. And we know the tax cuts for billionaires on top of other already in place tax cut for billionaires ain't good for the middle class. And I'll say this as well. We all know that presidents aren't kings. Now, I'll end with the easiest thing that you possibly can do after you have that tough conversation. In that conversation, I guarantee this person, this friend, this family member, this colleague that you disagree with about something that you're real passionate about is going to say something that you're like, I hear this all the time, or I've never heard that. What the heck is that? Write it down. And then email me that at askmaggie@civicmedia.us. That's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. And I'll address those questions this coming Friday at 3 o'clock in the new segment, Ask Maggie. Remember, friends, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together. Dom Salvia is up next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll sort through the Wisconsin Supreme Court race with our friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigvi Olson on the Lincoln Project. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Todd Albaugh Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did
not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House is defending President Trump's executive order that temporarily freezes federal funding for key programs and foreign aid. A half dozen states already filing lawsuits.
The White House confirmed it is aware of the Medicaid website portal outage. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt wrote on social media, the White House confirmed no payments have been affected, that they're still being processed and sent out, and they expect the portal will be back online shortly. A memo today from the White House Budget Office said mandatory programs like Medicaid would continue without pause, despite the funding freeze. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
GOP House members are holding their annual meeting today discussing priorities under the new Trump administration. The House Speaker says one of the topics could be conditional aid to California following those deadly wildfires. Health officials in Kansas say they're dealing with one of the largest tuberculosis outbreaks in the nation's history. Two people are dead, and there are 67 confirmed cases. This is ABC News.